I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Walcove Home Health of Red Oak. Experience the spirit of Walcove. The Atlantic School Board will hold a work session this evening at the High School Media Center beginning at 5:30 p.m. Special presentations leading off the meeting will cover the AHS Silver Cord Program and school property casualty insurance. But the most interesting part of the meeting will likely be with regard to board member communications. That's because school board member Dr. Keith Swanson wrote an article in the Speak Up section of the Atlantic News Telegraph last week, where he indicated he was embarrassed to be on the board in light of recent issues with the district's buses and concerns about a number of financial issues. Athletic Superintendent Dr. Michael Amstein wrote a response to Dr. Swanson's letter, which was published in Tuesday's paper. In it, Amstein claimed many of the comments made by Dr. Swanson regarding the operation of the district were quite inaccurate. Amstein said Swanson wrote his comments without confirming the facts and said that he should have addressed his questions and concerns to the board in an open forum where they could be answered directly. Amstein said he also thought Swanson's assertion that the district's fine arts and athletic programs have deteriorated were insulting and disrespectful to the students, coaches, and sponsors. Trial in the case of a Council Bluffs woman accused of fatally stabbing her ex-boyfriend began Tuesday and will continue Thursday in Council Bluffs. Jody Sherman is charged with first-degree murder in connection with the July 4, 2014 death of Douglas Richt, who authorities say was stabbed in the throat by Sherman after he picked her up in a car. Richt died while on the way to the hospital. The Daily Nonpareil reports prosecutors spent the first day of Sherman's first-degree murder trial admitting evidence and calling witnesses and law enforcement to the stand. The prosecution, which consists of Pottawatomie County Attorney Matthew Wilbur and Chief Deputy Attorney John Jacobmeyer, called 8 people to the stand Tuesday. With Sherman's defense team expected to push for not guilty by reason of insanity, the prosecution also made it a point to try and prove that Sherman's behavior was more about her love of peppermint schnapps than possible insanity. The trial started with 2 witnesses who live at a residence where Richt ended up after being stabbed taking the stand. Both witnesses said they saw Sherman take a swing at Richt, get out of the car, and walk down the street. They further testified they saw Richt get out of a 1999 Saturn and walk to their porch, spilling blood along the way. A third witness who lives nearby told prosecutors that she saw a knife on the floorboard of the Saturn. Council Bluffs Police Department Officer Miranda Adams took the stand and discussed how she stopped Sherman after the altercation and transported her to the department's Criminal Investigation Division. Adams said on the July the 4th, 2014, Sherman made verbal threats, and also Sherman said Richt kidnapped her and said that she was being held hostage. Adams further testified that Sherman was concerned about the FBI and people coming out of the police cruiser's radio. Jacobmeyer and Wilbur spent much of the day asking about Sherman's drinking habits and whether or not she was intoxicated at the time of the alleged stabbing. Mark Elonick, a former Council Bluffs police detective, said Sherman was not given any sobriety tests on July the 4th while Sherman was at the police station. Although no tests were given, Elonick said he felt Sherman was under the influence of some type of prescription drug or alcohol. The trial, which is slated to end on Friday, is being conducted without a jury. 4th Judicial District Judge Kathleen Kilnoski will render the verdict from the bench. If Kilnoski does find Sherman guilty of first-degree murder, Sherman faces a sentence of life in prison without parole. Pottawatomie County Sheriff Jeff Danker yesterday announced the placement of a permanent medication drop box, the Iowa Take Back drop box, to be located in the jail lobby of the sheriff's office at 1400 Big Lake Road in Council Bluffs. Sheriff Danker said the drop box is made possible through a small grant from the Governor's Office of Drug Control Policy to address the increasing problem of prescription drug abuse. The drop box will be accessible to the public during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Citizens wishing to utilize the medication drop box are asked to place all medications in sealed, non-breakable containers, and they're requested not to include any sharps, such as syringes or lancets, or any other item that could cause injury to the sheriff's office staff servicing the drop box. You should also remove all personal identification from your unneeded controlled prescription drugs, seal the medicines in vials and/or bags, and take them to your nearest Iowa Take Back drop box site, and anonymously place your medications in the secure drop box. Well, 2 people were injured when a car collided with a pickup truck Monday afternoon in Union County. The sheriff's office said the driver of a VW Jetta, 16-year-old Christian Oscar Ramirez of Afton, and his 18-year-old passenger Juanita Ramirez of Afton, suffered possible non-incapacitating injuries and were transported by ambulance to the Greater Regional Medical Center in Creston. The driver of the pickup, 23-year-old Roberto Hernandez Cruz of Afton, was not injured. All three individuals were wearing their seatbelts. Officials say Cruz was traveling west on 167th Street in Union County at around 4:25 p.m. Monday and had stopped at the intersection with Highway 169. He didn't see the approaching car and proceeded into the intersection. The VW struck the pickup on the right side, causing $10,000 damage altogether. Cruz was cited for driving while suspended, license, failure to yield, and no insurance, accident-related. Ramirez was also cited for failure to have insurance, accident-related. The Audubon County Community Foundation reminds students of the deadline for submitting applications for the Exira Lions Club, Harold and Beverly Ann Godwin Endowed Scholarship is March 31st. The fund will award one scholarship for $1,000. It is open to any high school senior from the Exira EHK School District pursuing a 2 or 4 year degree, full-time at any accredited vocational, technical, educational institution, a college, or university. Applicants are asked to complete the application form and submit it with a copy of their current transcripts to their high school guidance counselor, as directed in the scholarship's fact sheet. Scholarship applications are available from the guidance counselor. And the Cass County Community Foundation reminds students of the deadline for submitting applications for the Dustin McCurdy Endowed Scholarship Fund is also March 31st. The McCurdy Scholarship provides two scholarships of approximately $500 each to high school seniors from the Cumberland, Anita, Messina, or CAM High School. And as with the Audubon Community Foundation, applicants are asked to complete the application form and submit it with your current transcripts to your guidance counselor. That's a check of the news brought to you by Wellcove Home Health of Red Oak at 1600 Summit in Red Oak. Give them a call at 712-623-2500. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.